Let's stand together and let's look at Psalm 94, the 94th Psalm. And I'd like to read the entire Psalm if we can. Psalm 94, O Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O Judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exalt? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. And they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay attention. Pay heed, you senseless among the people, and when will you understand, stupid ones? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke? Even he who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. Blessed is the man whom thou dost chasten, O Lord, and dost teach out of thy law, that thou mayest grant him relief from the days of adversity, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness? If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, thy loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. Can a throne of destruction be allied with thee? One which devises mischief by decree, verse 21, they band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge. He's brought back their wickedness upon them. He will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. You may be seated within God's powerful and anointed word. I'm calling this message the ear planter, the eye former, obviously using verse 9 as the title here. What I'll do is put up the entire verse, verse by verse, and then we'll talk. Verse 1, O Lord God of vengeance, shine forth. So it was evening. Dusk. Out across the yellow sea, you could just see the sun setting, and its shimmering was going across the waters. And there in Phuket, Thailand, my wife and I held hands and watched the day drift away across the ocean, across the yellow sea. It says, shine forth. I believe and I trust you believe the Lord is coming with his shining across all the seas of the world. Verse 2 says, rise up, O Judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. There in front of us was the God of death. We were at Prambanan in Indonesia. And in this great Hindu temple, this entire temple was dedicated to the God of death. Now, I'm no Hindu, but I've seen a lot of life, and I've seen a lot of death. And in a way, they've got it right on this piece, because we don't worship death, but we need to understand that death or the coming of the Lord awaits each of us. And every Hindu will experience not just physical death, but eternal death. It talks about here in this verse, render recompense to the proud. Every heart, every soul that exalts itself against the Lord will experience eternal death. Verse 3, how long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exalt? They pour forth their words, they speak arrogantly. So below us was glass. Hundreds of stories high was this glass bridge. And we walked across between the largest and tallest twin towers in the world. We were in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The tallest twin towers on earth, and the glass bridge below us. It says, how long shall the wicked exalt? Now, we weren't just standing on this glass bridge between these massive towers, the tallest twin towers on earth, but we looked out across a nation, Malaysia, which completely, virtually 99% Islamic. How long will the wicked exalt? And so there they have their exalting towers. But soon, every Muslim that does not recognize Jesus as Lord will perish eternally. Now, I'm not saying this to put guilt, because the guilt is already there. I'm saying for us to understand the magnitude of his salvation, the magnitude of his glory, the magnitude of redemption. Verse 4, all who do wickedness vaunt themselves. So up we went in the great chamber passageway. And we climbed and climbed higher and higher. And stone after stone of these massive stones was off to our left. And finally, with these dimly burning lamps, we could see a small hole broken through the wall. We bent down and climbed into that hole and made our way up, 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 until finally, from this hidden passageway, we made our way into the central sarcophagus of the greatest pyramid on earth, Cheops's massive pyramid. It says there in verse 4, all who do wickedness vaunt themselves. This Cheops was worshipped as God. But his burial chamber, which was full of the most spectacular gold and death masks you can imagine, was nothing but an empty sarcophagus and dust. Hidden passageway found millennia ago, and his grave robbed. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves, but we see many vaunting themselves today. Their end is empty and gone. Verse 5, they crush thy people, O Lord, and afflict thy heritage. So my hand was against the great stones. And there I stood with rabbis and Jewish people all around me. And I prayed, and my wife and I, and we prayed and prayed at the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, for the soon coming of Messiah, whose name is the Lord Jesus, whom was crucified not just by the Jews, but certainly the Romans. So we all did it. But Jesus, the Messiah, to come soon to rule on earth was the prayer of our heart as we held our hands against the Western Wall. It says, they crush thy people. We're seeing a worldwide hatred for Jews. The anti-Semitism is growing, not diminishing. And soon they will be hunted worldwide until a portion of them are hidden away. And I'll talk about that soon. Verse 6, it says, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. So you could hear crying at one side of the lobby. And you could see another side of the lobby, great consternation. And there were women all across this huge lobby of this hotel in Guatemala. And every woman who was there that day, whether they were weeping or not, had a child that they were giving away for adoption. You could feel the pain across the room as these women had borne the child and now giving them up, partially because of a man that was not there, partially because the culture made it very easy, partially because there was lots of money involved, and partially because of the lack of courage and resolve in the women, and certainly the men that had given them away. My son spoke strongly, our son did, about fornication and adultery a few weeks ago from this pulpit. Powerfully, he slammed fornication and adultery, and I 100% stand with him on everything he said both days recently when he spoke. But you have need to see, we all have need to see that the abortion that's happening now in our nation is primarily because of lust and greed. They killed hundreds under Moloch in the Old Testament as they put the children on the statue's burning arms. But we haven't done hundreds. United States America has done millions. Slay the widows, murder the orphans. Look, both are damaged. Not just the baby, the woman is hurt deeply by this action. And it is a slaying of the widow, and it is a murder of the children both. Number 7. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. So deep, 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 layer after layer after layer. The passageways went down, 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 down. As we walked deeper and deeper, putting our hands across the cold, wet walls, until finally we came to the sign of the fish, Igthus in Greek. And there by grave after martyr's grave, the fish was carved in. In the Greek, it means Jesus Christ, God, Son, Savior. We so casually put these fish on our bumpers, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but do we realize the magnitude of the roots of that? The magnitude of the roots are martyrdom by our brothers and sisters. Recently, I went up to the driver of a car and said, "Lady, I like what you have on your bumper." And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "The Igthu." She didn't know what I was talking about. I said, "The sign of the fish." She didn't know what I was talking about. I talked to another man who had a sticker on the back of his car, different week, different time. And I told him how much I liked the sign of the fish on your bumper because I know what it means. It means very specifically Jesus Christ, God, Son, Savior. He says, "Oh, this is my wife's car. I have nothing to do with that." Oh, really? Oh, really? They say the Lord does not see. Now, if there's a Christian, I'm talking about a real one, not a fake one. But if there's a real Christian in this room, say with me, the Lord Jesus sees. The Lord Jesus sees. Stand and say it if you're a real Christian. If you're not, remain seated and relax until your day comes. The Lord Jesus sees. Oh, does he? You may be seated. The Lord sees all things, and they can say the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob doesn't pay attention, but in fact, he does. Verse 8, pay heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones? Boy, the Bible is pretty direct. So the shadow of the great Mayan pyramid went across the sports field where we stood. And deep, deep in the Mexican jungle, that snake pyramid, which is considered one of the seven wonders of the world, its shadow went across the field. And this sports field was where they would hold these games. And they would have these clubs that they would hit the ball. But the losers, their heads became the ball. They decapitated them at the end of the game and slaughtered them and used their heads to play the final round. When will you understand, stupid ones? So my question is, where's humility? Where's humility in the media? Where's humility from the church leaders that are so cocky and full of ambition and greed and themselves? Where is the humility amongst the politicians? Where is the humility from lukewarm Laodicean Christianity? Where's the humility from your co-workers, right? Right? Your co-workers. all, whether it's politicians, media, Christian leaders, Laodicean church, all are called to humility and to not be stupid. Will you understand, stupid ones? This is the reason why the two great witnesses of Revelation wear sackcloth, because it's a symbol of humility. And that's what God is calling from you and you and me. Verse 9, it says, he who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? This is where the title of this message comes from, the ear planter, the eye former. So the ocean lapped on the shore, and there were these huge wooden boats that had been carved out of these huge trees. And they were lined up on the shore. They were all fishing boats, but they were gigantic. They were really big, considering they were hand-carved out from trees. And there in Ghana, right by the border of Togo in Western Africa, we were there. And I'm looking at these boats and imagining the amount of work it took to carve each one out. And I'm thinking, God is the great carver of my life and yours. He will take great pains to carve your life into the image of Christ Jesus. The ear planter, the eye former, both hears and sees. Now listen to me. And I've said this before, but I'll keep saying it. He is the God of vengeance. And he's the God of love. Same time. Same God. He's the God of wrath. Horrible, terrible wrath. And he's the God of deep, deep, deep mercy. Same God. He's the God of holiness that is unapproachable by any of us. And he's the God of comfort to our souls and hearts, bringing us peace and drawing us near to the impossible, reachable throne of God. All of the attributes of God are one and at once. Verse 10, he who chastens the nations, will he not rebuke even he who teaches man knowledge? So I could see with my class, we were all there huddled right at the edge of the street. I could see him walking slowly towards us with his tall hat. And closer he came to our class to greet us. Thousands were lining the streets, thousands to greet the president of France, until Charles de Gaulle came right up to our class. And I was a couple of feet from this great hero of World War II and the resistance of France and the president of the nation. The great airport in Paris is now named after him, but I was close, within arm's reach of de Gaulle. Now it says here in the scripture, he chastens the nations. He teaches man knowledge. So the Nazis thought they had a mission to entirely dominate earth. But God had other plans, not just from Charles de Gaulle, but from many courageous men and women that stood against the tyranny. God chastens the nations. He teaches man knowledge. God has plans for the lake of fire to teach man there is an end to sin, there's an end to yourself, there's an end to your arrogance and pride. He will teach man and mankind knowledge. He also has thoughts, not just plans for the lake of fire, but he has thoughts for the New Jerusalem. He has thoughts for its glory and beauty and to draw you and allow you to enter through the gates of pearls, to come in fellowship with him forever. He teaches man knowledge and he chastens the nations. 11, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. They are a mere breath. So down we looked. There was blackness down below us, and there was kind of a grate there, and we're looking down, 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 as far as we could peer, down to the burial site of the patriarchs. And there below us was the graves of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Leah, because Rachel had been buried on the way to Bethlehem. And I'm thinking, what a moment to be here in Hebron, Israel, and to look down towards the graves of the patriarchs that I revere and honor so greatly. But, we are dust. I just held up my hand to a man who I was talking to, and I said, this is just dust. If you don't believe me, look at this hand in 100 years, or even 50 or 25. The thoughts of man, they're a mere breath. We are dust. He is eternal. Say it with me. We are dust. He is eternal. Now, he chooses to bring us into eternity, but we need to understand that at the gateway, he is eternal. We're dust, and he can raise us in that great day, and will, Christian, and he will, Christian. Last one, number 12. And I'll conclude for the day. Blessed is the man whom thou dost chasten, O Lord. Thou dost teach out of thy law. So around my bed circled my wife, holding my hand and arm, our three children and our granddaughter, and they wheeled me away and did a quintuple bypass. It took 6 hours, five because I was ready to die. I came out of that massive surgery, and a day later got double pneumonia and began to cough and cough and could not stop. And for 1 month, I lay in the hospital, coughing and on the edge of death. Deep through the valley, I walked. The valley. You know what I'm talking about, the valley of the shadow. And I cannot tell you how many times I asked God, why? 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 But look at this verse. It says, blessed is the man whom thou dost chasten. Blessed I am that God chose to chasten me and take me through the darkest hours of my life with my wife at my side and my son, David, our daughters, granddaughter, grandsons. I believe there were three reasons of why. He meant to prune me. He meant me to be a type of the excruciating pain of America. Small type, but a type. And he meant me to learn a trust that I never could have learned any other place but that month-long hospital bed. There is a God who has formed your ear, and he hears. There is a God who has formed your eye, and he sees. Every trouble, every pain, every agony, every disappointment, and has purpose for you, believer. Not confusion, not distress, not disheartening like he has for the world. Very, very different what the Christian goes through and the world goes through. Lord bless you.